And with the familiar tones of AC/DC, you and I begin another episode of Wrestling Observer Live Sunday. My name is Josh Nason. It is Sunday, August 16th. And wherever you're listening to the show, I give thanks. That could be on WrestlingObserver.com. Big shout out to all of our subscribers. Could be on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. Shout out to producer Bailey. Could be an app like iHeart, TuneIn, maybe Spotify, Apple Podcast. Maybe it's Tout, Zoom, YouTube, wherever it is. I thank you for checking in on this very, very beautiful Sunday here in Northeast United States, New Hampshire. Yeah, Northeast United States, all that good stuff. Of course, special shout out to those listening on the American Forces Network. We thank you for your service each and every day. I'll be with you for the next hour. A lot to talk about per usual, including AEW Collision last night, a tape show, but still results. We had chat about those and a lot of random bits throughout the week I've written down. I take notes, certain things that catch my eye. We'll talk about that. Day 38 of Eric Cannon versus Avery Styles. We're pretty much done with this, but I did have one last observation and suggestion for future indies. Chris Jericho was on Wrestling Observer Radio this week, an hour-plus interview. I had some thoughts. Also, what happened in that Kevin Knight match? We'll talk about that. The Women of Wrestling, yes, wow, had some big news this week. So did CM Punk. Where are the Motor City Machine Guns? All kinds of other stuff like that, including a random thought I had about Bryan Danielson after picking up my daughter from her grandparents' house. Yes, that's right. Ton of stuff to come. Very fun episode of Wrestling Observer Live Sunday, and we're going to get back to it right after this, so stick around. Wrestling Observer Live with Josh Nason will be back after this. Back with you on Wrestling Observer Live Sunday. My name is Josh Nason. Sunday, August 16th. Thank you for checking in. A lot of things to talk about. A little tired. You were with me last week. I mentioned a big double dip with concerts this past weekend. Chris Stapleton at Fenway Park in Boston on Friday night. And then Mumford & Sons in Guilford, New Hampshire on Saturday night. Yes, did the middle-aged white guy a double dip to my wife's favorite musical acts. I think her favorite two currently right now. And so we went and checked those out. Nice getaway weekend. And yeah, we are back on this Sunday. And Monday, I'm going to see The Odyssey. And then Tuesday, I'm finally going to see Spider-Man Brand New Day. Everything other than wrestling we're talking about on this show. But I hope you had a great weekend. And summer's almost over, but hey, got the fall ahead, right? All types of stuff to look forward to, including All In. So let's get to last night's AEW Collision tape show from Las Vegas. So we knew the results ahead of time. Spoilers on our site and many other sites. We'll go into kind of the big news. Really, the big news is we're going to have, I think, a little bit of a change in the Continental Challenge Cup, the Triple C, as they're calling it, which is a lot easier off the tongue than, remember last week, Tony Schiavone, Paul White, and probably two other people were they could not get the name of this thing right. Continental Challenge Cup, the Triple C. I like that. But we have three guys advance. One of them, it doesn't appear like he's going to be in the tournament any longer, or else they would have made this a big deal. I say that because last night's collision, Kyle O'Reilly defeating Roderick Strong to advance. Of course, the conglomeration team members there. You had Hechicero and Brian Cage, the Don Callis family members, doing battle there. Hechicero emerging. I thought that was a very entertaining match. I like Hechicero quite a bit. Very unique character. And I'm a big fan of that style. He and, you know, the Zack Sabre Jr. I almost said Zack Ryder. Zack Sabre. Two different styles there. Zack Sabre Jr. And I really kind of enjoy that. And so that was, I thought it was fun. And Kyle O'Reilly, of course, advancing. And hopefully we'll see who he gets paired up with. I think there's going to be the motivation to pair him up with Moxley next, which wouldn't be the worst thing. They had a really fun rivalry, and Kyle's just having the most unfortunate health luck at that time, and really just kind of seemed to take that next step, and then got hurt. So he's kind of trying to get this get that back on track. And then Nigel McGuinness. So Nigel McGuinness defeated Katsuyori Shibata And afterwards, later on the show, Tony Schiavone mentioned that McGinnis had suffered an injury, saying more details would be announced in the quarterfinal selection special that's going to be airing Monday on YouTube. And something that last time I completely forgot about when they had the announcement show. So yeah, tomorrow night on YouTube, they're going to be doing this blind draw and the quote-unquote blind draw, right? And so we'll find out who is going to be paired up in the next round. So that includes, as of now, Kyle O'Reilly, Hatchisero for sure, Nigel McGuinness, which he suffered an injury. I'm going to guess that if they wouldn't have said it on the show, if he wasn't going to get pulled, Claudio Castagnoli, Orange Cassidy, Eddie Kingston, Jay White, and then current Continental Champion, John Moxley. A lot of interesting pairings there. Let's see. I mean, you could do, kind of depends. I don't know if they're going to do brackets at this point, because I don't think they're going to do a blind draw for the final four. They might. I don't think they've said that, though. But there's some interesting pairings here. You know, Kingston, who they pair him up with is going to be kind of fascinating, right? Hatchisero, I guess you could do. He and Claudio obviously have a history, so I could probably see that being the next one. Cassidy and Hatchisero would be interesting. Jay White and Kyle O'Reilly. John Moxley. The John Moxley Eddie Kingston match would be a lot of fun, given their history, and why I'm surprised they didn't pick up when Eddie came back. But yeah, there's some intrigue here, definitely. And of course, I guess we'll just speculate how are they going to replace Nigel? Are they going to replace him with someone else that was in the tournament? You know, someone that is, or someone right from the outside. Qualifier? I don't know what they're going to do, but I think he's getting pulled, but we'll find that out on Monday. And overall, yeah, the tournament has been, you know, it's been fun. I think there was no expectation it was going to be a bad wrestling tournament, right? I think with the talent level they have with AEW, you know what you're going to get, and they're delivering it. And this is as expected. How it ends up, you know, that's going to tell kind of the tale going forward. We had other developments coming out of course, All In coming up in just a couple Sundays. I think two Sundays from now is going to be in Wembley Stadium. We got a lot of the major components of the card put together. We had a couple more people declaring for the Men's Casino Gauntlet match. Of course, they don't know if they're going to be in, because Andrade and MJF are starting as first two. Hey, if someone gets a pin, the match is over. I don't think that's going to happen. Tommaso Ciampa and Commander are going to be in that as well. So imagine if they did that, though, just as a surprise, just it finishes off between the first two guys and you don't get anybody else. They'd never do that in a million years, but that's another thought. So what do we have for an updated card coming up for August 30th? Yes, 2 weeks from today. We have Kenny Omega defending against Will Ospreay, of course, AEW World Title match. Willow against Mercedes Moné. Women's World Title match. Adam Copeland, Christian Cage defending against the Young Bucks for the tag team titles. The Women's World Tag Team titles, Divine Dominion against the Brawling Birds. This one new this week, Kyle Fletcher defending the international title against Konosuke Takeshita and Kazuchika Okada. That will be coming up. Of course, Takeshita, the G1 is all done. And I don't know how, when people listen or watch the G1 and stay away from news, we really are cognizant of spoilers on our website, given the time of day it happens and so on and so forth. So I won't say anything about the G1. I didn't watch it. I don't, unfortunately, have the time to watch all of that. But I won't say anything just in case, so spoiler free. And let's see. We also have, of course, the Men's Casino Gauntlet match. So Andrade and MJF, first two guaranteed entrants. I kind of like how they're doing the Andrade-MJF thing, in that I thought for sure, you know, they were going to put it on this show as a singles match. However, you know, it's one of those things where you can do at All Out, and it's like, okay, you get a little bit of a tease here, but then you have time to do the full one, where if you put it on this card, it might just get overwhelmed and overlooked. But as part of this Casino Gauntlet match, may play into obviously a story down the road. We'll see what happens. We have Kevin Knight. This is new. Kevin Knight defending against Darby Allin in a Falls Count Anywhere match. So this we knew is coming. Again, the Darby Allin stunt show. I love that collision promo last night from Darby. It just didn't work for me at all. It just didn't. And then we also have the Continental Challenge Cup Finals, who I think Moxley definitely is going to be in. Again, I'm just wondering who this wild card is, but I'm going to guess if Nigel is definitely out, because I was expecting probably it was going to be Moxley and Nigel in the finals. I mean, my guess is they're going to do Moxley and Jay White in the finals, because I think Tony Khan probably really wants Jay White to kind of get going again. And that would make sense too. If Moxley is still going to win, you're kind of guaranteed a really good match there, and kind of gets Jay White, you kind of try to elevate him back up on that level, if that makes sense. So we have that for All In. Of course, we'll get some more things as we go. It doesn't seem to be any women's gauntlet match coming, at least as of now. That could obviously get announced this week. I think if it's going to happen, it probably would get announced this week, but I'm not really holding out too much hope. And then for Dynamite coming up this Wednesday, Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks teaming up against El Clone, Mark Davis, and Jake Doyle. That should be fun. El Clone against Omega and the Young Bucks. I'll take that. Will Ospreay, Hanare, and Francisco Akira, the United Empire, taking on Brian Cage, Rocky Romero, and Lance Archer. We have, of course, a four-way for the TBS title, Maya World defending against Persephone, Chris Statlander, and Hikaru Shida. And we also have a sit-down with Kenny Omega and Will Ospreay. And, of course, more to come, I'm sure, in the hour ahead of Dynamite, as is prone to happen. We'll talk more about kind of the how AEW, more AEW and when they announce matches and so on and all that in a bit as relates to CM Punk. We'll have more about that in a segment. Of course, a lot more to get to. Thoughts about Chris Jericho, CM Punk, Women of Wrestling? Yes, Women of Wrestling. All that and more coming up next. Wrestling Observer Live Sunday with Josh Jason. Come right back after this. Wrestling Observer Live Sunday with Josh Nason back with you. A lot to talk about. Let's get into more of the news from Saturday, and then we'll get some thoughts from the week. We had, on the WWE side of the fence, we had a few things happen. So La Parca has advanced in the Roman Reigns WWE World Heavyweight Title Shot Tournament coming up in just a few weeks, just over a month in Mexico City, I believe September 30th. If that, I'm sorry, September 14th. So yeah, just about a month away. La Parca defeating Psycho Clown in AAA last night. And I don't know who he is. La Parca is going to be taking on Penta in the second round. Of course, Penta pick up a win. And we'll see. Yeah, on Monday's Raw, we'll talk about more about this in the final segment. We look at the week ahead. But yeah, we have some first guys getting their first time shots on WWE Raw coming up on Monday. So that should be good, including Rey Fénix, brother of Penta. So we had La Parca. We had Triple A's Hero Inmortales 2026 coming in Arena Mexico. Not Arena Mexico. Ciudad de Mexico. Arena Mexico. That'd be something. Coming up on October 24th. And we also had Dominic Mysterio versus El Grande Americano set for Triple A's Triple Mania 34 Night 2. So I think that was pretty much guessed, or, you know, assume that was going to happen, built up and so on and so forth, but it is official. We also had the first match made official for WWE Sunday Night's main event coming up just after Labor Day weekend. So it'll be Sunday, September 6th, the weekend after. It's a little bit different this year. Randy Orton versus Cody Rhodes. They're doing that on the house show tour now, because I know they, Manchester, New Hampshire, about an hour from me, they did a house show there for the first time in a long time this past week. And I think I saw the estimate was like around just under 4,000, I think, something like that. Seats around 10,000. Just giving an idea of kind of how hot things are right now. It was also midweek. And yeah, it was Randy Orton versus Cody Rhodes. So that will be coming up. And yeah, it's interesting because they also did SmackDown in Boston on Friday. So I think there's a lot of crossover there because Manchester and Boston are fairly close as well. So it, you know, it's just kind of interesting when you know the area and you look at where kind of how they schedule things. And, you know, it's easy in a vacuum to say, oh, the attendance is really low for this. But if you're going to go, if a family of four or a couple of guys or whatever, if you can go one or the other, you might not be able to probably afford both. You're probably going to go to the TV show instead of the house show. And so on. So just a thought there if you're kind of looking at attendance and those type of things. And what else do we have? There was a couple other things. Of course, the G1, I won't talk about that. Although you probably at this point, Jeff Cobb is back in the company. So he is returned. And remember that whole deal when he left and he didn't, he just basically just left. He, the tag team, he was a part of the half the tag team champions and just left. But they took him back. So there you go. And we also have Joe Gacy, the former Joe Gacy, winning the GCW world title. Joseph Sawyer defeating Addis Kogar and homecoming weekend night one at the Showboat in Atlantic City. By the time I'm listening to this, I don't know if he's wrestling on Sunday show, night two. Could lose the title. Who knows? But he seems to be, yeah, back in the indie mix and getting into it. And we're going to see, you know, over the next month, a lot of those, that that group that was released or chose not to renew their deals, where they end up, where they go, where their opportunities are, and frankly, how many of them want to keep wrestling, right? That's the big thing. I've said that a lot. You really get to find out how interested people are in the business or just interested in being in WWE and nothing else. It is hard. You know, you look at these waves of roster releases throughout the years and people are like, oh yeah, I remember them. And they just disappeared. And a lot of like younger talents, and that's to be expected. You know, if they're talents that they recruited from, part of the NI deal from different, you know, college athletics and so on, didn't grow up wrestling fans, but wanted opportunity, but they're like, I'm not really going to grind. Some people do, but a lot of people, they just don't really catch the bug and they just leave. And then a lot of guys and girls that have been wrestling for a long time and there's no interest in them for an AEW or even a TNA. This is the thing with TNA is you wish that they were more aggressive with free agents. And, you know, that's kind of the AMC deal that kicked off this year. And there was a lot of hope. And, you know, we're more than halfway through the year. They're just not really like, you don't ever hear them going for these big talent. I think it's just a money thing and it's just the reality of the business. So you really have two companies pursuing all these top talents. Everyone else is just trying to figure out a spot to be in, no matter what. But Joe Gacy seems to, he's getting back on the grind. Good for him. And yeah, that's kind of all the big news. Blake Monroe's first, I saw this headline and we'll move on. Her first WWE SmackDown match was announced. Didn't she get called up like 3 months ago? Actually, almost 2 months after her first appearance, she's now set to compete on SmackDown. I don't want to pile on she fumbled by leaving AEW and so on. She had a dream and had an opportunity. And, you know, she had a 2-year deal with AEW, which is crazy, right? That was one that came out of nowhere. She had a run at NXT, but it doesn't feel like anything of gravity yet. No gravitas to her presence in WWE yet. Now, she hasn't really got going, but why'd they call her up with 2 months to go? Oh, she's done some vignettes and so on. It's just kind of, it's weird. You know, it's between her and Julia. There's just I just have this feeling that at some point they're going to both be in AEW again. Because you look and see how there's, how many of the protected class in terms of we'd never release this person are there in WWE? 10? Just off the top of my head, right? That you think about that they would never cut unless there was some sort of major incident or something like that. May 15. Everyone else, you can see and it sucks sometimes you watch these shows and you kind of think, huh, do they have they could be cut in X month. That's kind of the reality of business right now. But Blake Monroe finally getting her first opportunity here coming up in a few weeks. Someone that is not going to get cut from WWE, Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho talking to Dave Meltzer and Garrett Gonzalez on Wrestling Observer Radio. If you're a subscriber, you can hear that. If on YouTube, it is also, of course, on our website, audio, Spotify, and so on and so forth. I thought the interview was it was interesting. I had some notes. I listened to it over 2 days, both walking and driving around. And my first thoughts were what's the best way to say this? There's no one that Chris Jericho loves himself some Chris Jericho. He is not short on confidence. He is not short on, he believes in himself. He believes in, is almost, I'm going to say acknowledging, but He really is, he knows where his place stands in history. He has a very high self-esteem. He's very confident, and he thinks as himself as one of the best that's ever done this. And someone that is, he's obviously got decades of experience. And as he noted in the interview, he is one of the few that, he heard himself kind of the last of the Mohicans. He has done this, he's worked with all these different people in all these different countries, and a lot of them don't wrestle anymore. Some have passed away, retired, you know, maybe there are other companies. But he's really done this, and he said, he doesn't really know how many other people that are so active are doing that. Which is kind of interesting, right? You know, really, it's the old line, Jim Cornette used to use this line, if you don't go away, how can we miss you, right? And you stole that from somebody, because I've heard that in entertainment before. But Jericho has been a presence on our TVs for decades. And he's never really gone away. So he's just kind of a constant. So it's hard to kind of think that you take a step back, you're like, oh yeah, he has gone here and here and here and here and here. But there is this thing with him in AEW and a certain part of the fan base that just is fatigued by him still. This happened this past Wednesday, I noticed, when they had this, Jericho did the Kevin Knight match for the TNT title, work with a young guy, something he acknowledged on the interview where he said that, he said, contrary to popular belief, I do what the boss tells me. And we're always willing to do that. I mean, the contrary to popular, I wish there was a follow-up, like, what is that? Why do you think that is? That's the things I wanted to hear a little bit more about. I also want to hear about the spot in this match, right? And he was not asked about this, but even before that, I did a quick spin. Actually, right when the spot happened, I was just like, I wonder what people are saying about this. So I just put in Jericho into a Twitter search at that point, and boy, before that spot even happened, people were like, why is it taking Kevin Knight so long to beat this guy? And it wasn't just one person. It wasn't just specific trolling accounts or anything like that. It was tweet after tweet after tweet after tweet after tweet. And then there was a spot in the night match. And then I saw one tweet get over. At that point, it was days ago, like 1.1 million views. And it was just, it's unforgivable isn't the right word. But it's just one of those things where you're like, how does this happen? And 2026, and it's, I'm sure there's a little blame from Don Callis and Jericho, but just, it was like time stood still, and you just have to shake your head like, what are we doing here, right? I kind of wish he'd been asked about that too, and how does a wrestler overcome that, you know? How those things happen and so on. I know there's this thing kind of, you know, want to protect the business or what have you, and, you know, this seems to work when people want to work, the Eric Cannon, AJ Styles thing, but you know, it's there's certainly a sentiment out there from a certain segment of AEW fans that don't want to see Chris Jericho around. We'll talk more about that after the break and tons more. Wrestling Observer Live with Josh Nason back after this. Wrestling Observer Live Sunday with Josh Nason back. Lots to talk about still. I was worried. I'm like, I need some filler. Certainly not today. So yeah, I was finishing up talking about Chris Jericho. I don't really know what AEW and Tony Khan can do about it at this point. They made the decision to bring him back. And, you know, a lot of the stuff has been entertaining on this run, right? The team with the Young Bucks, I thought that was a lot of fun. The Ciampa series was a lot of fun. So it's really just kind of find interesting things for him to do. A lot of this has felt like an unofficial retirement tour. I had taken that note down a couple of weeks ago. You know, the appearance in his old character in Arena Mexico and teaming with the Young Bucks and kind of like this last tour around, but it doesn't sound like he's done. I just wonder what can the company do? What can he do to keep it fresh? And, you know, in that interview, he kind of went over, you know, all these guys he would like to work with. And it must have been 15 to 20 names. That was another thing I saw on social, and people saying, any young guys, run as fast as you can. And that's a whole narrative thing. That I'm very interested to see why he thinks that is. Everything can't just be social media. Just say, well, it's just haters. That's the de facto for everyone these days, haters. But there's something to it. So what is it? Oh, but he, that, yeah, the spot in the night match, I cannot believe, you know, I try to get into too many match rating things. Dave Meltzer gave that 4.5 stars. How do you do that? To complete, took you out of the match, distracted. I don't know. So I'm very interested to see what they do with Jericho over the next 6 months or so as we round out the year. And if he keeps doing kind of interesting, fun stuff, like I like the Ciampa feud. I like old guys, quote unquote, the intersection of talent, these veterans that have never worked together before. Do I need to see him against Kevin Knight? No, not really. The trios match in Arena Mexico was a lot of fun. He talked about that being one of his favorite moments. So yeah, we'll see what happens with Jericho down the line, especially for all, and I assume part of the gauntlet match at this point. That's my guess. Other notes that we have for the week. Where are the Motor City Machine Guns? These guys debuted like how many weeks ago on that Thursday? Was it 2 weeks ago? Let me see. I was Collision last night. Blake Christian had a thing that was written in his hand, you know, the swirl is better than Motor City Machine Guns. And they appeared on Collision. It was just over 2 weeks ago, July 30th. It feels like it's been longer than that. And there was a vignette, I think, but it does. I had a note a while ago. It does take Tony Khan a while to get some of these new free agents going. Like, they didn't have an immediate match. It was kind of just one of those things. We also had a tease, I should mention, speaking of older tag teams, the New Day, it seems to be, and I was thinking this, and even before I saw what people were saying on social and websites, podcasts, all that, that the New Day are going to be Swerve's partners for a challenge of the demand, or possibly a Trios Championship coming up at All In. That makes a lot of sense. Factions are all the rage. And so I can see Swerve, you know, going babyface again with these two guys and having something there. So that could be fun. Could be completely not what's happening, but it seems to be Swerve Strickland coming out after about a month away and kind of getting involved with both the demand and the good, the bad, and the ugly, who aren't apparently going by that, but Hangman and Brodito. That could be that's not an accident. So who makes sense? Two guys, new guys coming in the New Day. And let's see. So yeah, Morrissey Machine Guns. I don't know. I like to see kind of guys like they kind of be in the mix already, but they haven't been. So perhaps maybe this week they'll be in action. I assume they're not going to debut under their new contracts at All In. I think they got to wrestle at some point before then, right? You would think, but I don't know. This roster, as Jericho pointed out, is massive. He was completely right about that. Completely massive. Let's see some other thoughts here. Women of Wrestling. Yeah, they had this promotion fascinates me. They have been around. This will be their fifth season, and they have about 30 to 35 shows a year. They're on syndication, which a good part of our audience may have no idea about what syndication is, right? And so basically it's the stuff you see like on your network stations late at night, you know, things that get picked up and carried around. It's a lot of filler content in a lot of ways, but like Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune are syndicated, right? But so is Women of Wrestling. And a lot of times you'll see it like on a Saturday night, if you're flipping through channels, if you still do that, speaking about being old, you know, 10, 11 at night, you'll see Women of Wrestling. It's also available on, I think, Tubi. And also there's another couple free options. They have a YouTube channel as well. So they're going to go live this season. So it was a tape show. And yeah, for their fifth season, which is going to be taped out of LA Live in Los Angeles as part of a new initiative they're doing for live programming. And the show is going to be live, I assume, every week. That's the way I read it in this Variety piece. And Jeannie Buss, who is the former LA Lakers owner, son, of course, Dr. Jerry Buss, very famous guy in NBA history, LA Lakers and so on. She's going to be more of a character on the show. And the reaction to this was like, really? You do that? Like, it was kind of like surprise. I think one for this promotion is still around and exists. And they're seen apparently by enough people where it's financially feasible to make this work. But also interesting is their syndication partner who helps distribute this is Paramount. But they're not on Paramount Plus or anything like that. So it's not, it's syndicated out everywhere except what David Ellison owns. Which I'm fascinated by this company, how they keep going. I don't think it's making any money, but maybe there's something in syndication. It's not like any of the female talent from, like, talk about releases. I don't think they're bringing in, maybe for, if they're going to go live, maybe they're going to start to bring in like actual, like women that people know. Cause they do the whole characters that the founder, co-founder of Glow is, or the founder of Glow is a co-founder of this as well. So I've seen very little of it. It doesn't do anything for me. I'm fascinated by these things that exist in this niche and are still going and apparently making enough money to do something. It's wild to me. Absolutely wild. Other thoughts here. Whenever I hear about ratings and someone gets credit for a quarter hour, you know, like NJF, the quarter hour that he was on for Grand Slam Mexico got the highest quarter hour of that show or something like that. But he was a surprise. So how do you get credit for that? I always kind of wonder about that. How does that work? Is it just assume that people are seeing it on social and flipping over? Because otherwise, how are people going to know if they're not watching? And people don't flip through channels anymore. I was joking, kind of saying that earlier. But when someone gets, oh, they're a quarter hour, if they were surprised, how would they get credit for bumping the quarter hour? You know, just kind of a weird thing. One more note about Jericho I actually just remembered is you wonder, AEW has a younger audience, you assume in a lot of ways. Do they know the history of Jericho? Are they into it? And that's something else when you kind of bring these people in. It's like, what is your current audience made up of and do they actually care? They care he's done all these things and beforehand. I mean, they may know he's been in WWE, I assume. But I think as time goes on, I mean, like I said, I'm 48. I remember all this because I lived through it. But there's a lot of fans that are probably like, I have no idea who this is. And you may think I'm crazy, but think about things that young people in your lives that you're like, oh, did you hear about, you bring up a pop culture reference. They're like, they look at you like, I have no idea what you were talking about. That's the same way with wrestlers too. Just kind of something to think about. The Bryan Danielson thing. I was driving around and I was thinking, remember how depressing that retirement was? Just how like at WrestleDream, 2 years ago with Jon Moxley, just how just a sad scene it was after that. I wonder if they all had to do that again, if they were doing it differently. I know Danielson, I think, kind of enjoyed it, but it didn't really give the finality I think a lot of people like myself look for. And I was thinking about that in terms of transitioning to Punk. Great segue, Josh. The CM Punk tour. So WWE has really leaned into tours now. And something that we should have seen coming years ago, I predicted on my old podcast that WWE is real, or the business in general after the Sting retirement tours are going to be a thing because they seem to be fun, good business. And people are kind of into it, saying goodbye, your last chance to see this person as an active performer. This has been a thing in entertainment and music and so on for forever. And of course, wrestling hasn't really in the States leaned into it like this level. The John Cena tour was another level. I thought they did that really well. And then you have now it's celebrations. The Randy Orton, 20 years in WWE. There was someone else a few years ago who was like celebrating 20 years. And now they're doing it with Punk. I think it's 20 years from his debut or so. I believe that's what it is. So now it's just this long tour. So he's going to go all over the place. And they have everything all scheduled out, including, to no big surprise, the AAA show that's going to be running head-to-head with AEW All Out in Chicago. There was no doubt in my mind he was going to be on that Chicago show. Zero. Especially the size of the arena they're running and all that. But yeah, it's smart because just like last week, I was mentioning how I really like the AEW Dynamite special themed episodes. You have to change things up and give reason that people go other than WWE is coming to town. Talking about earlier with Manchester and so on. You got to give people a reason to be like, what's different? Why do I got to see this? What do I need to, what do I need to be in on? What do I don't want to miss out. So it's a CM Punk celebration tour. Makes sense. Also knows the people, easier for me to say, that the announcing is ahead of time. So people can plan ahead, get excited, buy tickets. That's the whole point. And we're talking earlier about the AEW and how they do announcements. What if we knew that Will Ospreay was going to be on the next 10 Dynamites or was going to do some sort of big tour? Or something? Like, I think it's one of the things when it comes to attendance, and I've asked this for a while, we don't know who's going to be on the shows, but there's a lack of confidence for that the big stars in the promotion are going to be there. WWE really, like, they are, for this stretch, and they don't do this for everyone, but they're saying, you go to these shows, you buy a ticket, you're going to see CM Punk one way or another. He may not be wrestling, but he's going to be there. I think AEW, they don't really have any of these kind of retirement tours going now, but, you know, Adam Copeland at some point is going to be calling it quits. I think that'd be a fun one to do. I know some of these guys don't like to do this. I think it makes too much sense not to. It's fun for fans. They get to say goodbye. And these are performers you invested decades of your life into and lots of time and lots of words, like I'm saying. It's nice to see them go. And people like that emotion. You know, where the kimono is fully open. We know what the business is all about, better for worse. And I wish AEW would do more of that with letting people know ahead of time really who's out there. The Punk thing, that's another gesture towards that. I didn't even get into the Eric Cannon versus Avery stuff. I'll just say that every indie should do their new award, the chair stacker of the night, and it should be a ranking. How many chairs did each talent take care of that night? We'll wrap things up with a look at the week ahead, a little bit more in depth than usual. Josh Nason, Wrestling Observer Live. Come right back after this. Wrestling Observer Live Sunday with Josh Nason wrapping up. Let's go over the week ahead. Monday, WWE Raw. Few matches made, including Chad Gable defending the Intercontinental title against Rey Mysterio. Two matches for the World Heavyweight Title Shot Tournament against Roman Reigns. Dragon Lee versus El Hijo Del Wagner, Dr. Wagner Jr. and Rey Fénix versus El Fiscal. The Raw debuts for Fénix, Fiscal, and Wagner Jr. Good for them. Saul Ruka versus Lyra Valkyria. Roman Reigns himself making an appearance because Jey Uso is going to deliver Solo Sikoa to him after his win last week over Solo Sikoa. Perhaps they're going to use a DoorDash bag or something like that. There's our sponsor, right? NXT, of course, on Tuesday. Number one contenders match for the AAA Cruiserweight title. EK Prosper, La Parca, Tristan Angels, Romeo Moreno, Jackson Drake, Shiloh Hill with stipulations there for Heatwave. Kendall Gray, Ren Sinclair against Kalani Jordan, Callie Armstrong. And we also have Lexus King defending the Spence Speed title. Yes, that's still a thing. Against Lucian Price. We mentioned earlier for Dynamite, Kenny Omega, Young Bucks, El Clone, Mark Davis and Doyle, a trios match there. Will Ospreay be in action? I'm running out of time, so I'm going to get through this quickly. We also have on, let's see, that's Tuesday NXT, Wednesday Dynamite, Thursday TNA Impact, and I believe Ring of Honor, because we have Death Before Dishonor coming up on Friday. So TNA Impact, the build to lockdown is going to continue. We have the TNA Knockouts Television Title Women's Tournament, of course, Jada Stone against Heather by Elegance. We have a Lethal Lockdown Advantage match. Hardy's going to be on the show. Rich Swann, Mr. Elegance, all your favorites. And, of course, then we have Death Before Dishonor coming up from Philadelphia on Friday. And then we have AEW Collision and then AAA on Saturday. No G1. Of course, New Year's Dash coming up. And not New Year's Dash. It's August. I've been talking a long time. I've been talking a long time. Thank you so much for joining me on Wrestling Observer Live Sunday this week. I will talk to you here, same spot, next week. My name is Josh Nason. This has been Wrestling Observer Live Sunday. Thanks so much for stopping by.